As the days of the summer come and go, the blessings of the Lord are all the more evident upon the ministry of Worth Baptist Church. These days have been the very best days of summer in the history of our church. God has shown us His mighty hand at work in our Sunday school and through the services of worship week after week during the days of the summer. As we stated at the beginning of this summer season, truly, summertime is revival time at Worth Baptist Church. We extend to you and your family a cordial invitation to share these blessings in the summer with us by attending our Sunday school at 10 o'clock, our Sunday morning worship service at 11, and our Sunday evening worship hour at 7. Worth Baptist Church is located at 3309 Wilbarger Street in Fort Worth. You can reach our church by the Pauley Freeway or Highway 287 South or by Loop 820. We are conveniently located and easily accessible from all parts of the city of Fort Worth. It would be our joy for you to come today and to bring your family and friends to study God's Word and to fellowship and worship God with us at Worth Baptist Church. Some of you are listening from a great distance from Fort Worth, and of course it would be impossible for you to attend. But whether you live close by or at a long distance, we would surely love to hear from you this week. Write us and we will send you one of our booklets entitled Times Like These. This booklet can be yours, free and postage paid, if you write this week. Remember, our mailing address is Worth Baptist Hour, Post Office Box 15141, Fort Worth, Texas. And now my message on today's broadcast from the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, verse 1 and through verse 3. Before we read these verses, I invite you to pause with me in just a moment of prayer. Let us pray. Dear God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, before Thee we come again today in the beginning of this broadcast to ask that Thou wouldst use this message to bring joy and comfort to the hearts of many. Above all, we ask Thee to use it to bring salvation to those who are lost. As we consider Jesus Christ, Thy Son, and the Savior of the world, help us, we pray, to have with us a full awareness that without Him we are helplessly and hopelessly lost. May we never lose sight of the fact that we have salvation in Him and in Him alone. It is in His name we ask it, and for His sake, and with thanksgiving. Amen. The book of Hebrews, chapter 12, verse 1. Paul writes, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your own minds." From verse 3 comes the topic of my message on today's broadcast. Consider Him. This is the purpose of our ministry and our broadcast today, to consider the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to share with you an article by an unknown writer that I believe will challenge and thrill your heart. It's entitled, One Solitary Life. Here is a man who was born in an obscure village, the child of a peasant woman. He grew up in another village. He worked in a carpenter shop until he was 30, and then for 3 years he was an itinerant preacher. He never wrote a book. He never held an office. He never owned a home. He never had a family. He never traveled over 200 miles from the place where he was born. He never did one of the things that accompany greatness. He had no credentials but himself. While still a young man, the tide of popular opinion turned against him. His friends ran away. One of them denied him. He was turned over to his enemies. He went through the mockery of a trial. He was nailed upon a cross between two thieves. His executioners gambled for the only piece of property he had on earth while he was dying, and that was his coat. When he was dead, he was taken down and laid in a borrowed tomb through the pity of a friend. 19 wide centuries have come and gone, and today he is the centerpiece of the column of progress. I am far within the mark when I say that all the armies that ever marched, and all the navies that were ever built, and all the parliaments that ever sat, and all the kings that ever reigned, put together, have not affected the life of man upon this earth as this one solitary life. Jesus Christ, God's Son, our Savior, the coming King. I want you today to consider with me the Lord Jesus Christ. Who is Jesus? Why, he's my Savior. He's the Lord and Master of my life. He's the star of astronomy. He's the flower of botany. He's the lamb of zoology, the rock of geology. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He's the Prince of Peace. He's the Rose of Sharon. He's the Lily of the Valley. He is the resurrection and the life. Too many people have made up their mind about Jesus on the basis of secondhand information. We need to look at God's book, for God's book is all about who Jesus Christ is. There have been more books written about Jesus than any other figure of history. Followed behind him is Shakespeare, and then Lincoln, Washington, and Napoleon. But Jesus Christ, God's Son, holds first place. Let us today see firsthand who Jesus Christ is. In the first place, let us consider Jesus as the expression of God. We read in the book of John, chapter 1, at verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Jesus Christ is the expression of God. The Most High became the Most Nigh, yonder in Bethlehem's manger. The Creator became the creature. God became man. As the expression of God, Jesus Christ is the light of the world. If you do not have this light, you are destined to be cast into outer darkness forever and ever. Jesus Christ, as the expression of God, is the bread of life. If you do not eat this bread, you are destined to die of spiritual starvation. Jesus Christ is the water of life. If you do not drink this water, you will die of spiritual thirst. Jesus Christ is the true vine. If you are not a branch growing out of this vine, you are destined to fade and wither and die. Jesus Christ is the way. If you do not find his way, you are destined to be lost forever. Jesus Christ is the truth. If you know not this truth, you are destined to a life of chaos and confusion. Jesus Christ, as the expression of God, is the life. If you do not have his life, you are destined to die what the Bible calls the second death. For you see, without this light, there is no seeing. Without this bread, there is no eating. Without this water, there is no drinking. Without this vine, there is no growing. Without this way, there is no going. Without this truth, there is no knowing. And without this life, there is no living. Jesus Christ, God's Son, is an historical figure. It is a fact of history that Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem's manger almost 2,000 years ago. It is a fact of history that he lived among men, that he died on Calvary's cross. It is a fact of history that he was raised on the morning of the third day from the dead. Every letter, every document, every deed, every event that has ever transpired that bears the date B.C. or A.D. This simply means that Jesus Christ is the dividing point of history as far as time is concerned. Everything that transpired before Jesus came into the world in the flesh is dated B.C., before Christ. Everything that has happened in the world since the advent of Christ's coming is dated A.D., Anno Domini, in the year of our Lord. Jesus Christ is God. In John 10:31, Jesus said, "I and the Father are one." Jesus was not simply like God. He was not merely a prophet of God. Jesus Christ was and is and forever shall be God. To dishonor Jesus is to dishonor God. To reject Jesus Christ is to reject God. To blaspheme Jesus Christ means to blaspheme God. On the other hand, to honor Christ is to honor God. To believe Christ is to believe God. To have the Lord Jesus Christ is to have God. To own and acknowledge and trust Him is to own and acknowledge and trust God. So we do consider Jesus Christ as the expression of God. In the second place, we consider Jesus Christ as the example for the believer. Let us note first His spotless character. We know what God is like because we know the character of His Son, His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 22, we read that Jesus Christ did no sin, neither was there any guile found in His mouth. Jesus Christ had a spotless character. May I ask you today, what about your character? Let us distinguish between personality, reputation, and character. Personality is what you seem to be. Reputation is what people think you are. But your character is what you really are. Does your character pattern itself after the character of the Lord Jesus Christ? He was the spotless Son of God. Let us notice second, as we consider Him as our example, His sinless conduct. I read in Acts chapter 10 at verse 38 that Jesus Christ went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. What about your conduct? Jesus said, "Let your light so shine that others might see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." When men look at you as a Christian, do they see Christ? Do they see His conduct and His conversation and His character reflected in your life? As our example, we look next at His sacred creed. Jesus built His life and His ministry upon the Word of God. It was His sacred creed that motivated Him to take care of His Father's business. It was His creed that motivated Him to go to church. It was His creed that motivated Him to pray. It was His creed that motivated Him to help all those in need. It was His sacred creed that motivated Jesus Christ to love others. And beloved, it was His sacred creed that motivated Him to go to the cross and die a sacrificial, substitutionary death for you by the putting away of your sins in his own body on the tree. Could I ask you, what about your creed? Are you a Christian? Do you belong to the church? Do you belong to Jesus? If so, does your creed motivate you to take care of your Father's business? Does it motivate you to go to church and pray and help others and love others? Just what about your creed? Remember this, the creed of today becomes the conduct of tomorrow. Jesus Christ is the example for the believer in our world of sin. In the third place, we consider Jesus Christ as the eradicator of sin. Oh, that awful enemy, that awful malady, that terrible disease that we call sin, entering the human race with our first parents, Adam and Eve, in the Garden of Eden, and from that day till this day, running rampant over all the earth. Sin is identified as public enemy number one. All the men of Adam's race have been affected by sin. You today listening to this broadcast, as a member of Adam's race, as a human being, as a man, you are contaminated with this awful disease we call sin. Just look at what sin will do to you. Sin will separate you from God. Sin will blind you. It will bind you. It will enslave you. It will imprison you. It will doom and damn and destroy you forever. This is not my idea about it. This is what the Word of God says. Listen, the wages of sin is death. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Lust, when it is conceived, bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Yes, that terrible disease called sin is causing every heartache and every burden and every problem that you know today. Your chief enemy is Satan, and he will drag you into the mire and pit of sin. Beloved, as you listen to this broadcast in this moment, why not allow the Holy Spirit to search your heart? Why not take inventory of your life? Ask yourself this question: have I settled the sin matter in my life? Have you? The only way that you can settle the sin matter is to come to Jesus Christ. For Jesus and Jesus alone can eradicate the sin from your life. Perhaps you've tried many other ways, only to learn that there is but one way to have your sins eradicated, and that is by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Education cannot do it. Environment cannot do it. Economics cannot do it. But I can hardly wait to tell you the one who can. Jesus Christ, God's Son, the Savior of the world, can eradicate the sin from your life. His name means Savior. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. We read in the book of Acts, chapter 4 and verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You cannot be saved through the means of your church or your club or your lodge. None of these things will suffice. None are sufficient. The only way that you can have your sins eradicated is for you to come in simple childlike faith, trusting the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, calling upon him, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God promises us through the prophet Isaiah, I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions and as a cloud thy iniquities. In 1 John chapter 1 at verse 9 we read, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And in the book of the Revelation, chapter 1, we read, "Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, to him be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever." My sinner friend, Jesus Christ can make a new creature out of you. Paul declares, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new." God does not run a fix-it shop to repair sinners, but God operates a regeneration factory to make new men. Jesus Christ can make a new man out of you today. You may be in a drunken stupor. You may have left your family and your home. You may have given up those who are dearest to you. You may have reached the bottom of the well. You may have gone the last mile of your way. But look up today. Listen to the words of Jesus Christ. "He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me." Paul declares that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. As we consider Jesus, we remind you that all that we could say about him is inadequate. We do not know yet all that there is to the person and to the life and ministry of Jesus Christ. But we do know this. We can guarantee you this. You can be made anew. You can be born again. You can be washed from your sins in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why not this moment kneel by your radio, confess your sins, invite Jesus Christ to come into your heart? And he alone will give you peace. You can have it today, right now, if you'll call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Until next Lord's Day at this same time, we wish you well. And as always, we admonish you to keep on praying.